All right, we're back again. More Zoom call realness on the show. That's just kind of how it's going to be, I think, for the next little while, unless the person I'm talking to has a microphone at their home, their apartment, their Blanket Fort home studio, and they can record their audio on their end and get it to me. Unless that's the case, it's going to be me talking to people on Zoom, and their audio is going to be a Zoom call, and that's just what's up. And I think y'all know how to listen to that, because there's other shows out there that are like that. So, yeah, you know what's up, quarantine style. Before we start here, I'm going to read a little Apple Podcast review. If you're new to the show, welcome in. Something we do here is you can go on Apple Podcasts, rate the show 5 stars, and leave a review, and I'll read it on the show, and I'll review you back. This is part of phase 2 for those of you who know what's up, who know about how we've been trying to roll out phase 2 and trying to build this audience. And this is the last one. This is the last one I haven't read yet, which means I need more reviews from you people out there. Yeah, you know, also, I think that some of them, for whatever reason, I just have never seen. Like, I know that Mary said that she left a review, and I just never saw it. So if you're out there and you're like, I left a review and I never read your review, let me know and maybe try to repost your review on Apple Podcasts and see if it comes back up for me. Because this is the last one that I can read that I can see that I've seen. So if you're out there listening to the show, go on to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating and a review, and Let's get this phase 2 rolling out. This one is simple. It says, I'm a fan. Austin is so easy and fun to listen to. He's definitely got a new and faithful listener in me. And it's from a person called Whitrose. And I don't know who that is. I don't know if it's my friend Whit Hertford, who was on an episode called Fear, or if it's my friend Whitney McPhee, who I know listens to the show sometimes, or Whitney, I can't think of her married name right now. Sorry if she's listening. But I don't know who this is. Whitrose. If you're out there, Whitrose, thank you. I love you. And I appreciate the review. But that's it. Yeah. We're out of the review. So either, I guess, that segment's dead, or, you know, leave me some new reviews, or hit me up with some feedback or some criticism on another episode so we can continue getting the listeners involved. Yeah, all right, okay, that's it. Here's the show. Guilty pleasures. I got them, you got them, I know you do. And different from vices, they aren't necessarily things we're trying to actively give up. In many ways, we rely on them. They provide us with a much-needed relief, and they satiate some part of our animal nature that thrashes and flails against our attempts to be decent people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What's weird to me is that we feel bad or even weird about these things at all. I mean, if we all have them, and we all know we have them, then why do we waste energy making ourselves or others feel weird about them? I mean, I guess maybe it's because a lot of times we know that even if everyone is partaking in some form of guilty pleasure, it doesn't change the fact that technically those guilty pleasures are probably not great for their spiritual or physical well-being. Kind of like how the fact that everybody farts doesn't stop farts from smelling like poo vapor, and sorry for introducing the phrase poo vapor into your mind's vocal index, but there it is. But whether a guilty pleasure is something we should be rightfully ashamed of or not, I'm still interested in airing some of my dirty laundry. Just getting it out in the open, no secrets, nothing to hide, just to talk about it. And I brought my good friend Patrick back on the show to air some of his dirty laundry as well. So whether it's our candid thoughts on different forms of social media, our sometimes questionable dietary choices, or our struggles with achieving idyllic comic book hero physiques, we're getting it all out on the table and taking a good, maybe too honest look at it, for better or worse. From a Blanket Fort recording studio in my one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood, this is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer, and today I'm video conferencing with my brother from another mother, Patrick Williams, about our guilty pleasures.
Yeah, definitely Facebook and Instagram. I think the algorithms are really watered down to just showing your content to your immediate like 50 or 100 people that watch your stories.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so there's a, you know, there's definitely more of a reach. But yeah, that's crazy. Like, I guess you could consider that a guilty pleasure, like going to your social media accounts and like seeing people who are watching your stories, but they never comment or engage with you in real life, but they watch every single one of your stories that you post.
Uh-huh.
Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah, that's on my list of things, was definitely social media, because there's things that I get out of going on there that are like not necessarily healthy. That's probably one of them. That's a good observation. I actually don't do that anymore. I used to look at who watches my story, and I used to look at specifically who's liking my things. I think, and I'm not meaning to say this to like call you out or anything, I definitely did it more when I was single. Cause I was like, yeah. I was like noticing girls.
Oh, you can fucking call me out, dude.
No, but I mean,
I do that shit all the time.
I definitely was noticing more like, this girl has been, that's actually what prompted me to like hit Mary up to ask her to hang out again. Is I noticed she was like looking at my story again a lot on Instagram. And she was like, she would kind of like, you know when you message people's stories, how you just sort of say like, you send a smiley face or like a laughing face or something like that. And I was like really taking notice of that. Like, she's really like popping into my DMs and like, and yeah. And she's responding when I pop into hers, and we're having.
I've actually met some really cool girls that way.
Uh-huh.
Like I've slid in their DMs and said, hi, I think you're cute. I think you're cool. I'd love to hang out. Like that's been more effective than actually matching with somebody on Tinder or Bumble.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely. And if nothing else, it's just another avenue of online meeting. It doesn't all have to be relegated to the dating apps. And like, I'm so happy to be done with the dating apps. The dating apps were so detrimental to my like self-esteem and self-respect. You know, it's like, because there's not really any option when you're single in today's world to not participate in some dating app or to not be on the online world in some way. Like, you just have to be represented on one of the platforms, if not three or four of them. And like, there was something really humbling and also just like disheartening about being like, you know, when I go out to a bar, I can assume that 9 out of 10 girls that I approach will say no to me, but on the app, I really know it. I really know that like 99 out of 100 people that I'm swiping on just took a look at my photos and went, nope.
Nope. I hate this guy's beard. Nope. He's bald. Nope. I hate his fucking glasses.
And it's like, you want to just stop. You want to just be like, you know what? I'm getting off Tinder. I'm getting off Bumble. But it's like,
oh, do you know how many times I've done that, dude?
Yeah.
I deleted the app hundreds of times.
Yeah. Just going, I'm dumb. I don't need these girls' approval. These girls who won't even go to coffee with me and talk to me. They're lost, you know, and like, I'm going to get off the app. But it's like, the damage is done. Like, I'm now aware in numbers, and like, there's a metric for how often I get rejected. And it is a brutal metric.
7 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
It's more.
It's, I swear to God, when I first started out, I would match probably like 1 out of 10. But I swear to God, there came a point where it was like, I would swipe for like 3 days straight without getting a match. And I would just be like, okay, I think I need to stop. I think I need to take a break because this is really hurting my feelings.
Dating apps are definitely a guilty pleasure of mine. I mean, I've been on and off of them for years now. You know, I'll have two or three downloads. Typically Tinder and Bumble are kind of my go-tos. I've tried Hinge the last 6 months or 7 months or so. I've met a few girls on there, but
what do you think of Hinge?
I'll delete it. I like Hinge. It seems to show a lot of the same girls, and it shows hot girls. Like an algorithm kicks in for like the first like 20 minutes and like all these hot girls will show up. Uh-huh. And then it just seems to be like not very cute people. So I don't know. I don't know how that works. But.
I feel like Bumble used to do that to me where it was like, it would like get me interested by showing me like
all these hot women.
Yeah. But also it would be really sad because I wouldn't match with any of them. And I would just like swipe through like 20, I would swipe through 20 or 30 like really attractive people and be like, well, of course I'm not matching with any of these people. And then I would get to people who were like maybe more in my league, which is fine. Like people that I was like, oh yeah, and then I would match with like 2 out of 10 of them. And
it only takes one really cool girl to match with, right? Like that's, and I've met a lot of really awesome women on those apps that I'm still friends with today. I mean, there hasn't been any like serious relationships that come out of them, but I have some really close girlfriends that I still talk to all the time.
Yeah. I still talk to some people that I met on those apps and, just as friends, and it's not all bad, but I think that, yeah, the idea that it's an accurate representation of like how appealing you are to people, I don't think that's healthy because it's not. We all know that people are just swiping when they're bored, and people sometimes swipe right just to like have a conversation, but they have no intention of actually meeting you, or they just swipe left just because they just didn't even like really consider, even bother like going through your profile. They just kind of were like, nah, like my gut instinct right on just first glance was nah. And so it's not an,
I'm more the guy that I read the profile. Like my profiles, I think it's pretty witty. I mean, most of the girls that I do match with, like that's their first comment is like, you seem really funny, you know, like, and I like your beard. That's about it.
I was really proud of my Tinder bio the last time I had a Tinder profile. It was just the synopsis of Happy Gilmore. So it said like, a down on his luck hockey player has to turn to professional golf to save his grandma's house from foreclosure. And that was my Tinder bio.
That's so good. And the girl who got that and swiped right because of that is golden. Like, yeah. You know you're gonna have a good time with her.
Yeah.
She's gonna be funny. Yes.
I had a couple of girls, like their first message to me would be like, Happy the gold jacket's yours, shooter's gonna choke.
I'd beg to differ, Mr. Gilmore comments. That be no more than an hour ago. That's so great. Love it.
But yeah, social media, definitely a big one. Lately, a bad one that's been like, I don't know why I'm still going on there is Facebook. Like, I just... like,
oh, god damn, dude.
Like, it's like, I just go on Facebook to get pissed off. I just go on Facebook to be like...
It's a cesspool of political... and now everybody is an epidemiologist, apparently.
Yeah.
Because of this fucking COVID, corona shit. And yeah, man, like I still post stuff on there, and like I said with LinkedIn, and like I'll post the same shit just to kind of gauge interest, and it's not even close. Like I'll get like one or two likes on some of my funny jokes on Facebook, and I'm like, what's going on here? And then it's just all the same. Yeah, it's the same shit.
Yeah, if I post an episode of my podcast on Facebook, it gets 2 likes, 3 likes.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I'm like, what are people doing?
But people,
it's the best podcast around.
All Facebook is it's all political and it's all virtue signaling, which really kills me. That it's like there's no like honest opinions on Facebook. It's all like the opinions you're supposed to have. And if anyone tries to have a discussion or a discourse or even like a healthy discussion, like just being like, oh, that's an interesting article. Have you thought about this? Or like it's just like there is a way you're supposed to represent yourself on that
platform. And if you don't toe the line perfectly, you'll get fucking chewed out. And so I don't even bother posting political stuff on Facebook anymore or getting involved.
What did you post? Didn't you post something a couple weeks ago about, what did you post that your friend got pissed off? Oh, SNL.
Yeah.
You posted how bad SNL is. It's fucking horrible, by the way. And the guy's like, well, these guys are just trying in these hard times. I'm like, look, you're a professional comedian on Saturday Night Live, and this is the bunk you're putting out. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you're getting paid millions of dollars still to do this shit, and this is not good enough. Don't do it. Like, don't post this shit if you're going to do something. Like, something.
Well, and I always love the – first of all, that was such a funny thing that, like, they were all rushing to the aid of – the Saturday Night Live cast, like right. They needed to protect the Saturday Night Live cast from my cruel trolling. And all I said, I think, was just like, boy, that Saturday Night Live Zoom sketch was pretty bad, right? Like that, like, oh, just
bad.
And like, honestly, all I'm trying to do is just kind of like have a laugh. Like, I'm just trying, like that's my way of uniting everyone, is just being like, so did everyone see that Saturday Night Live Zoom sketch? That was pretty bad. And it's like, and people were like, hey, you know what? Right now, people are just trying their best to give us entertainment. And I don't think it's very productive of you.
Are people trying their best?
Just like
I don't, come on, dude.
And I'm like, look, it is cool. Like, hey, John Krasinski, thanks for the show that's like meant to uplift me. And like, and I do appreciate that people are putting out content still for us to watch. And like, absolutely. But everyone needs to just take this a little less seriously. And but that's Facebook, is like, I'm not allowed to just be like, that SNL sketch was bad without someone saying why I'm out of line, or like, or virtue signaling that like I'm missing the point. And I just was like, oh my God, this is everything that I hate about Facebook. And about like,
I know
everything can be used as a platform for someone to virtue signal and to show how they're actually more enlightened or more woke than you. And like, well, yeah, that joke that you made actually was a little out of touch and a little tone deaf, because it's like, oh my God, like, you guys. And I was like,
well, that's the thing. That's the thing too about social media, especially, I mean, would people really engage in these type of political rants with you in person? Like, would they come up to you, to your face, and say the shit that they're saying?
No.
Like, would they comment those same things? I mean, this is another discussion about just the lack of awareness that people have around the shit that they're posting online, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, people and their opinions about Trump and, you know, wearing masks and all this stuff. It's like, come on. Like, you would not come up to me at a party, get in my face, and say this shit. Like, you just wouldn't do it. You get knocked out. You get punched.
And you would just be stammering, and you would just be so embarrassed. You wouldn't actually have the stamina to like go toe to toe with me in a real discussion about this. And if anything, if we were going to have a discussion about it face to face, it would be much more civil. It would be much more like reasoned, and like, yeah, we would like be considering what the other person's saying instead of just being like, I can't believe, you know. And it's all that, it's the posturing that kills me, that people get so excited to show everyone else how brave they are to call someone out. My friend, I saw the best one the other day that I just was like, this is Facebook gold. My friend posted a Rickroll that was, it looked like it was the Plandemic video. You know that Plandemic video that everyone went nuts about on Facebook? Like,
what? Just, fuck, yeah. Was that? I didn't even watch it.
So yeah, so everyone went nuts about it, about how it's bad information and how these doctors are quacks and whatever. And it got pulled from everywhere. It got pulled from YouTube. It got pulled from Facebook. But my friend posted a video that the thumbnail looked like it was Plandemic. And like the thing was like, these doctors make some good points. You should, you know, some good food for thought. And if you click on it, it was a Rickroll. It was, you know, classic, just like classic bit. This girl comments on it and goes, hey, just so you know, these doctors have been debunked and it's pretty irresponsible of you to post this. And my friend comments under it, did you click the link? And she just writes under it, I don't need to click the link. I know that these doctors have been debunked, and that like, and my friend comments under, click the link, like, make sure that you know what you're saying, like, click the link. And she clicks the link. And then, so then the girl comes back and she walks it back. She goes, look, I knew that it was a Rickroll, but I still think it's irresponsible for you to even just show an image of these doctors.
Oh my God, dude.
I'm like, you did not know that it was a Rickroll. Like, you're so full of shit. Like, you did, you saw the image and you took the bait.
Oh, I just don't, I just, like, people really, yeah, and I don't know why Facebook's gotten so, so fucking political and weird now. Like, it used to be a really cool place to go and, like, write funny jokes, and people were just so serious. I don't know, man. It's so strange to me.
Yeah,
definitely guilty pleasure for sure.
Facebook's now, like, kind of like Twitter, but with more pictures, like, with more photos. And
yeah. Twitter, you can kind of say whatever the fuck you want, right? Like, that's kind of what Twitter is all about. I mean, that's what Trump uses to troll America.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, if you want to go see some crazy shit and maybe see some boobs, go to Twitter. Because you're not going to see that on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah, and Instagram's kind of just now like softcore porn home. It's like where you go for like softcore porn of people that you could meet in real life. It's just like...
Right, or a lot of fake, yeah, like... model profiles.
Do you want to see a girl that you know that you went to high school with and she's just kind of all the way naked except for like a little like smudge on her nipple? Instagram.
Instagram's the place for you. The pasty. You can slide into her DMs but she'll ignore you.
Or she'll call you like a creep. Like pervert for.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't want any comments on this? Oh, I apologize. You didn't want anybody to notice.
Yeah. I like when girls post photos on Instagram that are like, it's just like a photo of their butt. Like, it's just like a photo. It might even be like a boomerang of them like twerking their butt cheeks. And then it'll say something underneath like, really needed to reconnect with me today. Like, really needed to tap into my self-love. And you're like, what? You're like, hold on. This is just your butt.
No.
This is your butt cheeks clapping.
But, or it's something about the corona, like, can't wait to get back to this. And there's like a bunch of chicks half naked in a hot tub, like drinking mimosas.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're stay woke. Stay broke.
I've seen a lot of honesty about that on Instagram lately, where girls are just like, it's been a while since I've been able to post a selfie of me looking hot, so sorry, here it goes. Like, I gotta post a photo of me in my lingerie. Like, it's just been a while since I've been able to, and it's just kind of like, okay, all right. And I almost, yeah, I prefer the more honest caption where it's like, yeah, I got to show people how hot I am. And you're like, all right, that's fair.
Completely, dude. Yeah, I think that's great. Like, I'm all about being authentic in my personal life now, and especially in my social media life. So anybody who's being open and honest about stuff like that, like, I completely get behind.
Yeah, I want to make it clear that it's like, I'm not slut shaming here. I'm not saying that you shouldn't post photos of you twerking your butt cheeks, or like, you know, like that, that you're not allowed
to
do.
It's your brand.
Yeah, it's your brand. It's your Instagram profile, and it's your body, and it's your like you get to post whatever you want. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying it's funny to me when the caption is something about like tapping into like healing and the universe, and I'm like, oh no, it's all right that you just wanted to show me your butt crack today. Like, that's okay.
I wanted to show my ass. It looked good. I felt good, and I was horny.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make other guys horny. So here you go. Yeah. Sign my DMs.
Yeah. It's just funny. Yeah, the disingenuousness when people are like, this was actually just about me. It was personal and private. It's like, oh, it's not personal and private, though. It's not at all.
It's for everyone to see.
It's very much so public. It's very much available to.
Yeah, dude.
I'm
definitely less engaged with Facebook and Instagram than I have been from the past years or so. So I've noticed that it's also distracting me from like really staying present. And you know, even when I was at work and stuff, like, I get completely distracted for, you know, 30, 45 minutes, and like, you know, like scroll, you know, like Facebook, Twitter, and distracted by notifications. I have all my notifications off. Like, my phone's on silent all the time because I my guilty pleasure is my phone.
Yeah.
Like I'm completely addicted to it. It's gotten a lot better since I've gotten sober. Mm-hmm. But for sure, my phone's been a huge distraction. I mean, I've had people tell me, girls I've dated, you know, like I have to really try hard to like put my phone away. Like if I'm going on a date or if I'm meeting anybody for the first time, like I'll leave my phone in my car.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I'm engaged, I'm paying attention, you know, cause I'm like one of those guys that I'll stop mid run, you know, check my phone. Right. I get a text, I get a notification. So total guilty pleasure there.
The quarantine has not been helping with that. When I wasn't quarantined, I at least had like the 6 hours a day that I would be on the floor at work where I'm not looking at my phone at all. And I at least had that like mandatory break where it was like, I can't look at my phone. I'm not allowed to at work. So like, I won't be looking at my phone. I would just usually turn my phone off when I'd be at work. So it wouldn't even be an option. I also loved going to the movies and turning my phone off and being like, I'm turning my phone off for the duration of the movie and I'll check it when I come out, and really being immersed in a movie. It's really hard for me to even we turn up when we do a different thing. When we watch TV, we can look at our phones, but when we watch movies, we turn off all the lights and we try to like really pay attention to the movie. But there's still nothing like the immersion of the movie theater where you're really.
That's a guilty pleasure that I'm missing, right? Going to movies by myself during the middle of the day. Oh, dude, I love that.
Getting a Coke. Yep.
Getting some popcorn and some of those sour straws.
Oh, my God. Oh. Dude, it's all about the mixture of popcorn and sour candy.
Like, I love it.
You got to have both, too, because if it's just popcorn, you'll feel sick because it's just like over. But the sour candy cuts through the like oiliness and then you got to have the soda. And it's all overpriced and it's all way too expensive.
You don't care.
Yeah. And
you never end up finishing it. You can take it home and eat it for days.
And especially because like we have a membership to AMC. We pay $25 a month and we get to see 3 movies a week. So we would go at least once a week to AMC and watch a movie.
I had the Cinemark app where I think it's like $8.99 and you get, 2 movies or something.
Yeah.
And they roll over too. And then you get like concessions points and you can get like points for free and stuff. So yeah. I would go into movies. Yeah. I've seen at least 1 or 2 a week.
Yep.
By myself. I would just go in the middle of the day. No one's in there. Check out the flicks I haven't seen. Even the shitty ones I want to just go watch.
Oh God. I love going to the movies. I can't wait to go to the movies again.
I know.
Especially there's movies coming out that I was so excited for that. I'm like, I swear to God, if they release these streaming, I'm going to be pissed because I'm going to watch them, but I don't want to watch this at home. Like I do not want to watch Tenet by Christopher Nolan at home. I want to watch that in the movie theater.
Oh dude. Yeah. That looks sweet.
Yeah. But yeah. Okay. So going to movies, phones for sure. What about, this is another thing that's probably gone up exponentially for you. During the quarantine, I know it has for us, trash TV.
Oh, yeah. I used to watch a lot of trash TV, like The Bachelor, Kardashians and stuff like that. I haven't watched it for a while, but I did watch some of those, like Love is Blind. That thing was a shit show. But I haven't watched a lot of trash TV. I've just been binging like new series and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I find myself switching between Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, Apple. Like I want to, you know, all the stuff that's new. Like, you know, like I suffer from depression and anxiety, and it's been hitting me pretty bad the last couple weeks. And so I need some like really good content to kind of help me feel, you know, happy. And so I've been watching a lot of stand up. But yeah, for sure, binging TV shows is a guilty pleasure of mine. Like I'll sit there for like, and I stay up late too, so like I'll watch it all night, right?
Yeah.
So that's definitely a guilty pleasure for sure right now.
We've plowed through more TV in the past few months than I think we have in the entire time we've lived here together. And we mostly try to watch like quality stuff that we both really enjoy, the writing and the acting and the, you know, like as people in this industry, we like watching stuff that we can kind of pull from. But man, there is something about garbage reality TV. Where did you watch any of Too Hot to Handle on Netflix?
The one where they're all can't have sex with each other?
Dude.
Should I watch it? Is it the British one?
It's like half British, half English, but we didn't make it past the first episode because I was like, I can't watch this show. These people are too stupid. But just the first episode alone, it's the most insane premise for a reality show I've ever seen, where the whole thing is just like, you guys get paid $100,000 if you don't have sex with each other. And they're like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to manage to not? It's just all these hot people.
Dude, I could do that for a year for $100,000.
Just so our idea that we came up with was Ugly Island, and it's just ugly people, and they tell them, if two of you people have sex, we'll give you all $100,000, and they all just kind of look at each other like, nah, I don't feel like it.
Ugly. Oh my god.
Just shows, dude, their like interviews. Like, wait, who said she has a crush on me? Maggie? Oh, no.
for 2 years in Cambodia, dude. Like, it wasn't even hard.
How funny is that?
And figuratively,
the premise of the premise of the show is, don't have sex with each other, and we'll give you money. And they're just like, ah, I don't think I can do it.
Just can't do it. I gotta pound this girl.
Have you seen how hot Travis is, though?
Yeah, I clicked through it, and the preview came on, and I was like, nope, this is awful. I suffered through Love is Blind, that trash, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I can't do this anymore.
They really find like the worst people in existence to be. I think.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's why we like watching it. We like just being like, oh my god, these people are for real. Like, these people are for real trash monsters. Like, that's the British show was Love Island, and just the trash monsters that were on Love Island. Did you ever see that show?
No, I've heard about it. I've heard some stuff. I want to switch gears into like,
yeah,
food guilty pleasures.
Oh my god.
So here's one that's very near to our Utah heart, is all you can eat fry sauce. Like the places that offer you fry sauce and you can just get as much as you want I put fry sauce on everything. Mm-hmm. So if they have it available at the restaurant, I'm going to put it on my burger. I'm going to put it on my grilled cheese. I'm going to put it on my fries. Dude, like, and when I traveled a lot, and like, I'd ask for mayonnaise and ketchup, and I make my own fry sauce on the table, and I give it to people, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. How come we don't know about this? And I'm like, yep, it's a Utah thing. So, dude, guilty pleasure for sure. It seems like it'd be gross, right? Because mayo is kind of gross if you don't mix it with stuff. But, dude, love it.
Why is gross food so good?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. So good.
Like, why it's as baffling as like when I consider my act of alcoholism, where like I would be getting ready to set out on a night of binge drinking, and I would, and like part of my body would be like, please no, like please don't, and I'd be like,
don't do this.
I'd be like, no, but we're gonna do it. It's gonna be rad. And that's how I feel every time I get in line at a drive-thru at like Taco Bell or something. My body's like, don't. What?
Yeah, Taco Bell, definitely. I haven't had a lot of it lately, but I used to eat a lot of Taco Bell. I've been getting those sausage McMuffins at Starbucks.
Oh,
holy cow, dude! Those are so good.
They're
like $6, but they're so good.
Do you ever do the mental trick where you like convince yourself that something like KFC is like healthier because it has like mashed potatoes with it or something?
I've done that. Yeah.
You're like, this is a little bit better. This is a little bit more like a home cooked meal.
Oh, and my body just is wrecked after like Del Taco or Taco Bell. I'm like, oh, don't do this.
KFC, so just like the best part is just eating like the greasy fat skin, and you're just kind of like just eating the worst part of it is just like, that's the best part. That's what I'm craving. That's why I'm going there.
Yeah, dude, that was that's so bad. Yeah, I love that. Really bad, really awful food, like fast food.
And you know, it's not like healthy food is gross. Like, we've been eating pretty healthy meals because Mary's been making. I've been eating mostly vegetarian because we haven't just been buying meat at the store. So we've been eating like mostly vegetarian and like mostly like, you know, dishes with like asparagus and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower. And like, we're trying, like, mostly pretty healthy and it's delicious. Like, it's totally delicious. But like, for whatever reason, I can't just have a healthy, delicious diet. Every once in a while, I just need to like rock my body with some just gross ass, greasy.
Like you're playing, like, I call it like a gas station roulette with food. Like, you go in and like, you'll get one of those awful chili hot dogs that have been sitting on the, like, the rotisserie.
Yeah.
Like, plastic shit. And like, I remember one day, like gas station sushi or stuff like that. Like, you just know you're going to have a really bad experience with that. So yeah, gas station roulette. I've been playing that for the better part of like 30 years of my life. And I remember one time it's like down in Lehigh or something. I was coming home from like an interview or something. And I stopped in a Maverick and I had some of that gas station sushi and I was like, had food poisoning. Like, I was throwing up like all night. Like, that's the last time I ever play this game. Fucking Maverick.
Yeah, I don't fuck with gas station sushi, but I will get a hot dog for sure. I will get a hot dog.
Throw that nacho cheese and that chili on there.
Yeah, I'll do that for sure.
That stale bun.
Yeah, I'll scarf down three hot dogs in a row from 7-Eleven. I never had lived. Now, I didn't have much of an excuse because growing up in Utah, it's like, there are lots of good restaurants to go to, but also it's like when you're on a budget and the closest thing is there's three fast food places, like where there's that Taco Bell and that McDonald's and that Burger King and that KFC right there on Highland and Fort Union, you know, and it's just kind of, and there's a Starbucks right there. That's such a convenient place to go and pick your poison. But I really experienced the reality of living in a food desert for the first time when I lived in Brooklyn, because my neighborhood, the only places you could eat within walking distance were my local deli around the corner, where it was like the options were to just have like a bacon, egg, and cheese from the deli, or like a deli sandwich, which was basically made with terrible ingredients. And then
bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah. And we had like a Popeyes and a Domino's, and that's what we had.
Oh,
and
geez.
And so your options were,
or you got to spend $30 for like Postmates or Grubhub.
Yeah. And even then, the things that I could order in from weren't like healthy things, you know?
Yeah.
To really go to like a nice, like find a really nice, healthy restaurant, I had to like leave my neighborhood. I had to like get on the subway and leave and like go, you know, two neighborhoods down. And
yeah, I also love original Red Bull and that original like Rockstar that tastes like Tri-Minic. You remember Tri-Minic back in the day when we were kids?
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know why I love. There's something about my youth that, like, I remember taking Tri-Minic. Maybe my mom was, like, trying to poison me, but anytime I was sick or, like, had a cough, or she's like, here, have some Tri-Minic. And she, like, poured it down my throat. I'm like, mom, I don't want this. But, yeah, I love original Red Bull.
I got stoked on Tri-Minic. I would always get stoked to down some Tri-Minic. And I also loved, my mom had these chewable vitamin C's that were like orange flavored.
Yeah, those were good. She got those at Costco.
Oh, dude. Remember those?
Like, they were like the big like vitamin C in Costco.
Yeah.
Like, screw the fuck the Flintstones. Give me the vitamin C orange.
Yeah, that was dope, dude.
Yeah, so I definitely guilty pleasure is original Red Bull. I don't love a lot of the energy drinks, because I kind of feel like they're just way too much sugar. But those Red Bulls, like, that's the perfect amount of like energy drink that I would mix with, like, you know, vodka or whatever.
Oh, but especially now that we're sober, it's like, oh, like caffeinated drinks and just getting that little buzz off of like an overly sugared or overly caffeinated drink and just getting that little like kick. You're like, I need that. I don't get it anywhere else in my life, you know.
Yeah, and I don't drink a lot of coffee anyway, so like if I'm gonna go, like I'll stop at the gas station and grab like a Red Bull. It's definitely a total guilty pleasure now. I drink way more of them than I used to. That's for sure. Probably because I'm not getting drunk all the time.
Yeah, my allowance for. I don't think I eat more junk food or more snacks than I used to when I was drinking, but like I definitely like give myself more of a pass now because I'm just like, well, I'm not getting drunk, so I guess I can eat 10 Oreos tonight.
Yeah. But I really do miss that guilty pleasure of like that when that first shot hits your mouth or it hits your stomach and you get like that burning sensation.
Yeah.
Like I remember what did I take the other day? Oh, I took some Z-Quil.
Yep.
And I kind of got that little bit of that sensation when I took a little Z-Quil at night. And I was like, oh, that first shot is such a guilty pleasure. Total guilty pleasure.
Totally. Because
that first hit of that really good weed.
I always liked, I always liked like the third drink. It was like the third drink where I would be like, okay, now I'm coming back. Now I'm like feeling like I can go out and talk on the patio with someone and like, you know, yeah, that feeling of, oh man. Okay. So we talked about gross food and about trash TV and, about social media. One I thought of today, cause I had a dream about it last night. I sort of feel bad about how much I like football. Like,
my sports consumption is a total guilty pleasure for sure.
But I feel bad because, like, I feel like morally and ethically, I shouldn't support football. Like, football's barbaric and like gladiatorial.
Yeah, it's really bad how involved I get with the youths, and I mean it's just basically college football because I really don't give a shit about pro. Like, I like watching it just because it's on. Like, I like watching players that I followed.
Me too.
Like that whole Alex Smith story. Holy shit, dude. That guy is incredible.
That thing made me sick to my stomach.
Oh, did you watch that, dude? Did you watch this 30 for 30 and it showed his leg just all grafted up?
How does he have a...
It looked like he was in a bomb. Like a bomb went off and his leg was like shrapneled up, dude.
How does he have a leg?
I don't know. It's a miracle that he's even walking.
And the fact that he's
trying to come back and play.
Yeah. The Washington Redskins as an organization, they have enough that they need to deal with when it comes to, you know, ethical bullshit, like their franchise's name. If they're smart, they should just like tell him he's not playing. Just go, look, man, we'll pay out your contract. You get all the money that you're promised, but like, you're not playing. You're not like you've played more than enough football for one lifetime. Most people don't get to play as long as you have. His career is a total success story of like starting his first six seasons in the NFL with losing records every year and then coming back to being one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL for the back half of his career and like having just winning season after winning season after winning season for like the last, you know, eight seasons.
Just an awesome teammate.
Yeah.
Like just a smart guy. He's got he set up a charity, a foundation with his sister, and they've he's made millions, like more money you could think of in one career, and has given back. Like I think he donated like a couple million dollars to the youths so they could build that weight room.
Yeah.
Back when before they hit the Pac-12. So like he's given back to university like crazy. Yeah, for sure. Dude, it's cool if you want to come back, but wow.
I hope he never plays football again. I hope that I hope he goes into coaching or he becomes a speaker, like a motivational speaker or a color man, or he doesn't ever need to work again if he doesn't want to. You know, like
just be a dad, bro.
Yeah, just be a dad but there's a part of me that's like, I don't know if I should ethically support. I have so many issues with the NCAA, like with football players not getting paid and with the bullshit of like, they're getting an education. I'm like, I got a free education for my musical theater degree that like only our parents came and watched. They're playing to stadiums of 50, 60, 70,000 people who are paying $50 a pop to go and watch the game. And they're not getting anything from that. And then on top of it, on top of it, they're putting their lives on the line, like literally risking lifelong brain damage for my entertainment, and they get paid with a free education.
A short career in the NFL. Like, I mean, with, you know, the odds of making it to the league.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane. But yeah, I think it's pretty incredible how the youths keep churning out all these NFL prospects year after year, you know, with the recruiting disadvantage that they have. So yeah. I think since we grew up with it, like our parents, like your mom and dad are, you know, diehard from the beginning, right? So I think it's just kind of been ingrained in us, and it's more of like a cultural thing now, I guess. Definitely, for sure, I get way too emotionally involved. But see, I think I get involved like during the season. Like I'm not like a huge, like I don't like follow like Cougar boards or like, you know, U boards. Occasionally I'll post in like a Facebook group or whatever, but maybe it's a healthy amount. I think my
emotional involvement, and this isn't going to surprise you at all, but I think my emotional involvement is unhealthy. It's healthier than it used to be, but I think that still, like, I have to do a lot of work each season to let go of how much I'm caring about it. Cause it's like, hey man, don't forget, this is supposed to be fun and entertaining. And also, like, you're not on the team, dude. Like,
yeah, like it really doesn't affect your life. You know, like,
it's a bunch of 18 and 19 year old kids that, like, yeah, you're looking up to, and that you're, you putting know, all these expectations on.
It's crazy how people get so involved with sports, like, you know, like live and die by winning championships, and, you know, kids crying at football games and basketball games. I mean, I love the Jazz. Like, I buy season tickets and taking my son to games, and I get pretty heated sometimes when they don't play well, but at the end of the day, it's just a game. You know, it's not affecting my livelihood. It's just a, you know, kind of a break from the monotony of life to kind of turn off and go watch these Neanderthals kill each other.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, and like, I'm not a huge UFC fan, so I'm like, maybe at least I'm not watching that, but like, cause that even for me is a little bit too much. Like, I can't watch people like when a person's head hits the mat and they're unconscious, and then the person jumps on top of them and starts bouncing their head off the mat over and over again to make sure that the match is over. I feel like I'm watching someone get murdered, and
I can't get in the UFC. I'll watch boxing. Like, I like watching boxing, cause I think it's, I don't know why I love the nostalgia of it, but yeah, dude, I don't know. Like, I can't watch guys beat each other up like that. That's crazy.
It's so wild. Do you remember a few months back when there was that fight between those two girls, and the one girl had her whole head, her forehead was swollen up, and you could see the fluid moving back and forth in her forehead as she was bouncing around the ring, and she kept getting punched in the head in this big bubble that was forming on her forehead. And it was one of the most, it went around on the internet because people were like, look at this girl's face. And I remember being shocked, like, how did they not stop this fight? And also just the unsettling feeling of, like, any second now, she's going to get her forehead punched and it's going to explode. Like, the bubble's going to pop and blood is just going to spray out of this girl's forehead. Cause you could just see it. Like, it was like a water balloon. Like, her forehead was just sloshing around. And
definitely, dude, that's gross.
It's like, how do you not stop that fight? How do you not? But I don't know. It's like watching the Alex Smith thing. It's like, there's the potential for that in football. And it's like, someone gets hurt pretty much every game. Pretty much every single game, someone gets really badly hurt. And it's a very intense sport. And I do think on the emotional end, I had a breakthrough this last season with the Utes, where at the end of the season, a lot of my family and a lot of my friends were very upset about the way the season ended. And I just kind of looked at it and thought, guys, like, how much do we want from this program and from the coaches and from these players? They've given us, like, way more than we deserve or have any reason to expect. You know, we're still a program that's not a name program. Like, people don't recognize the brand of the University of Utah. And to be in a Power Five conference and to have back-to-back winning seasons where you're in the title conference game, back-to-back seasons, and you're winning 10, 11 games, that's huge. It's a massive accomplishment. Yeah, I
mean, top 10 in the country for the entire year.
And to not be satisfied unless you're in the playoff. And it's like, I don't think that these fans would be satisfied if they went to the playoff and then lost in round one to LSU, which we would have, by the way. And it's like, they'd be pissed off. Like, well, we can't beat LSU. Yeah. It's like, of course we can't. So like, no one was.
Did you see LSU play this year, dude? Like, they could beat some of the bad NFL teams. That's how good they are. I mean, how many guys they put in the NFL? And they have like 7 first round draft picks or something like that. Like, it's a crazy amount of speed and athleticism in those SEC programs. Like, to get 7 guys drafted into the league that are going to be playing, like, that's every year. Like, that's huge for a program.
I think that's another reason why I like college football, though, is like the margin of error is non-existent. Like, you're not allowed to drop a game if you want to be considered like an elite program. You're not allowed to lose once. You're not allowed to mess up. So when people get injured, when key players get injured, and you have to have that mindset of like the next guy has to step up, there's just no room for mistakes. And that's really exciting to watch. But also understanding that should lead fans to be very forgiving, that it's like, hey, look, they had a hell of a season.
There's no normal fans, normal Utah fans, Utah Jazz fans, they're not forgiving. Like, they're so crazy. Like, I'll go to the games, and like, they're the worst fans in the league when it comes to like yelling at refs and like knowing if it's in like an actual foul. Like, the guy got hammered like on a shot, and fans are booing the ref. Like, dude, that was a clear foul. Like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, the passion is sometimes takes it to like unhealthy levels, and that's when I get disinterested. Like, I'm just like, okay, take a step back from this. Like, this isn't really that important to your life. It's just pure entertainment.
It's fun to be emotionally invested because it gives it stakes, and it makes it fun when your team does well. But like, you need to know how to set up the barrier so that it's okay. It's kind of like, I think people do this with fandoms with movies, where it's like they have a specific way they need that movie to work out, like a Star Wars movie or a comic book movie. And if the writers didn't write it the way they wanted them to, they're so disappointed. And it's like, look, it's good to be passionate and to have an expectation and to watch the movie feeling like you hope that it works out the way you want it to, but also like, you know, understand that you're not the one making the calls here, and you're not, you know, and that.
Yeah, people get way too involved with those franchises, Marvel movies, comic. You know, it's that whole Comic-Con crew, right? Like, their lives are kind of built around this whole idea of like this fandom, right? So I don't know. I mean, it's just unhealthy levels of obsession, right? Like, we took drinking to an extreme and it became very unhealthy for us. There's a lot of people that can drink 1 or 2 beers and be fine. I don't understand those people. I don't get them, but you know, same thing could be said about anything for taking to extreme, right? Like exercising, watching too many movies. I don't know.
Do you have anything like that with, I mean, I guess we did talk about going to the movies, but like, obviously it's great to see a great film, a film that really moves you and that connects to your heart, but like, do you like watching bad movies or even just like comic book movies that you're just kind of like, I'm gonna totally ignore the plot point, the plot holes and the writing that doesn't make sense and the movie logic that's going on right and left where people are just kind of using grenades to get out of situations that, you know, like,
I'm not really big into comic book movies. Like, I don't know why. I don't connect with that, like the whole Marvel thing. I mean, I'll go watch them. I'm definitely not that guy, like, you know, going at the first release date, standing in line, you know, at midnight for the first showing. But I do enjoy them. I love going to movies. So.
What about action movies? Do you like the John Wick franchise and like stuff like that?
Yeah, I do like John Wick. Some of the more non-mainstream ones, I tend to kind of gravitate towards, like that with the last Fast and Furious one with The Rock.
Dude, the Fast and the Furious movies are so ridiculous.
I know. It's just that franchise, man. Just keep making them.
And it's just like, just nobody even knows what's going on anymore. It's just kind of like, like the writing room in for those movies must just be like, what's the craziest thing you can think of? What's the most insane thing you can think of for us to put in the trailer of this movie? And they're like, I got it. Dom is going to ride his car off of a cliff, and he's going to kind of drive his car in such a way that the bumper of his car catches a chain that's connected to the cliff onto it. And then he's going to use the momentum of his speed to swing his car like a fulcrum and throw him onto another mountain that he's going to drive down. And that's going
to... That's going to be the preview, and everyone's going to love it, and we're going to make millions of dollars.
Yeah. Unless COVID-19 happens.
Yes. Yeah. Wish it did.
Okay, what else was I going to talk about? Oh, this is a good one. How about award shows and like celebrity news and gossip? Like,
I absolutely love award shows.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but like, I'm like the only person that I know that will like plan to watch like the SAG Awards, the Oscars, Emmys, like MTV Music Awards. Like, I don't know what it was, dude. I don't know why. I mean, I've been enamored with Hollywood since I was a kid, so. And I'll always buy like a random People magazine in the airport when I'm flying, and you know, the Us Weekly or whatever, just the Hollywood smut magazines. Like, I don't know why, dude. I love, as boring and as dumb as they are, I love award shows, dude. I love them.
It's something about like seeing them all together in one room, all dressed up, and they're all there together and they're all hanging out. And it just like fulfills this kind of fantasy that you have that you're like, yeah, they all know each other and they're all buds and they're all pals. And here they all are at a big party and I'm invited because
I bet they all like hate each other though. There's a few of them that probably can't stand. They're still in each other's roles. Right. Cause there's like a clique of Hollywood that gets all the big roles. Right.
Yeah.
Like you got like Matthew McConaughey, you know, Matt Damon, you know, Brad Pitt,
Leo.
There's like 20 actors, Leo, you know, and a set of producers and directors and writers that kind of rotate between all these same actors. Right. So they've unlocked some like Hollywood vortex. And I have a lot of respect for that, dude. I have a ton of respect for people that have figured it out. Like they've, you know, and Hollywood's a lot about, I mean, you know this, living there, trying to work in that industry, not as much as, I don't know, as much as you, but I think there's a lot of really talented people that aren't getting roles because they just don't know the right people.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, they're just not in the right cliques, they don't have the right connections, the right agents, or the right casting directors, don't know this writer, this director, so I don't know, dude, it's just, there's just something that's so uniquely enamoring about that whole society.
And we like hold it up like years later when I'm talking about movies with people, I'll be like, yeah, that won Best Picture, like that movie won Best Picture, he was nominated for Best Director for that movie. I don't know if he, and it's like this thing where it's like, who the fuck cares? But it does sort of mean it's like, of that year of the movies that came out, it was one of the most recognized movies of the year. But there's so many factors that go into like nominations and stuff that are such bullshit where it's just kind of like, if Martin Scorsese makes a movie, it will be nominated for Best Picture just out of respect. It's just kind of like a thing where it's just understood. If Meryl Streep has a serious role in a movie, she will be nominated. It's sort of like a default thing that needs to happen. But it's like, that sort of makes the award seem kind of pointless and like.
Real. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, dude. I guess, yeah, the glitz and the glamour of it all. I don't know. That'd be a pretty amazing experience to be in a room of those, you know, full of those people.
I know.
Feel the energy and it'd be so cool.
Cause yeah, I can talk shit about how asinine it is to watch millionaires giving each other gold trophies and like going up there and being like, wow, I can't believe this, you guys, this is amazing. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, your producers bought the trophy for you. What are you talking about? Like, they did a campaign so that you would win the gold trophy. And you're like, oh, wow, this really means that you guys think I'm the best actor. And it's like, no, it doesn't. It means that your producers for your movie campaigned and made sure that you got nominated. Like, but... But yeah, even though I know all that, I still like tuning in because given the chance to attend, you know I'd be there. Like, I would.
You definitely would be there. I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would not turn down my invitation. That actually goes, so I'm going to do like two more and then I think we'll call it. Because this list is, I wrote down too many things and I even told you to write down things.
A bunch of stuff too, but yeah. We've talked about most of them.
Did we cover most of them?
Yeah. I mean, there's a few there, when it comes to dating and stuff, but
yeah, I've got more than I think I can cover, but we'll do just a couple more. Yeah. You just brought up one where you said, I don't like doing hard work. And what I wrote down was not working out. Cause I definitely do feel good when I work out. I feel good when I run. I feel good when I actually go through like a hard workout and I'm sweating and I feel like I've like earned a shower and I do feel good, but also like I love not exercising. I just love.
It's definitely, I've pushed myself the past year or two to definitely try to work out at least three or four times a week. And I previously to that consistently, especially when I was married, I was still playing soccer and I was playing basketball and stuff, and I was like somewhat active, but this past, so during quarantine, dude, I've been starting to run.
Yeah.
Which I hate it. Like, I fucking hate running. But I just forced myself, like, cause I've been terribly depressed and it's like the only thing that seems to really help me, and the gyms have been closed and they're sort of open back up now, but yeah, working out definitely, it's helped me manage my stress and my anxiety. But it's so like just getting yourself to the gym is almost a victory in itself.
Yeah.
You know, like just running a mile and like, you know, I'm up to about 5 miles a day now, which is pretty amazing. Like, I couldn't go a mile without like just dying. Like, you know, having to stop and like almost throw up on the side of the road. So, oh, dude, yeah, there is something that when you do it consistently, it definitely gets a little easier. But
aren't you so jealous? Hard. Aren't you so jealous of the people who like really love it? The people who like work out 2 to 3 times a day every day, and they're like,
"There's no, they're lying. They do not love working out."
You think like, they're lying?
I do. I think they're lying. I think it's all show. I think they just have like, they're either like they do it for their job. So they're making money. So they have to like it.
Don't you think that at a certain point though, like you get a certain amount of like sexiness, like your body's like a certain amount of like toit and like you've got like a certain amount of abs and like a look that you're like, you do actually start to like love the
maybe. The process. Well, there's not, God, I mean, I wish I had washboard abs, but, I don't know if my body makeup physically would be able to do that because of the amount. I mean, I basically eat whatever I want so I can work. So then I work out, right? So it's just basically maintaining.
Yeah.
And not, you know, not going over, you know, my fat ratio.
That's what I do. I just maintain. Yeah. I just maintain the stuff. But I think that's what makes it hard for me is the fact that like I'm not getting the results that I'm thinking about when I'm running. I have this image in my mind of like, man, if I just do this every day, like after a bit, I'm going to start looking fucking tight, dude. I'm going to start looking ripped, but it's like, it never materializes. So I get really discouraged really easily. But like,
I have noticed that I've lost most of my muscle mass, like, cause I haven't been, you know, weight training. Yeah. So I've noticed that my pants are way looser. So I'm losing weight, you know, it's doing more cardio than actually building muscle mass. So,
but that kind of feels good.
Effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does feel good. You know, like I noticed I've had to, you know, wear belts on some of my pants now, as opposed to I could just, you know, cinch them up and they'd be good to go.
So. I was going to say you're looking trim. Like you're looking trimmed up. Like everything's looking like it's cinching in, which is nice.
Thanks. But Shauna would say it differently and make me feel bad about it, but I appreciate that.
I don't know. I think at a certain point, I think if I was able to get to a point where like my body was looking just friggin' sweet, I might actually enjoy the process of doing like 100 crunches and just being like, yeah, I'm just making my abs even more dope. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, there's a I think there's a unhealthy amount of like exercise where I think it's kind of an obsession about your body, like body dysmorphia and stuff and anorexia. So we're so self-critical of our bodies anyways that, you know, like I don't know. I think it's just a healthy amount for me at this point, for sure. Just maintaining, I don't get fat.
Yeah, and that's why I want to be able to enjoy the guilty pleasure of not exercising without the associated shame and guilt. I really want to be able to enjoy the guilty pleasure of like choosing not to run on a certain day, because I did 2 days ago and I'm good, you know. But I want to be able to enjoy it without the shame and the guilt. And I think that that's actually probably healthy. Like it's not good that we have this voice in our head telling us that we look ugly or that we, you know, it's like that those body standards exist just the same for men as they do for women. It's very much in the news and in on social media that women have these unhealthy beauty standards that they're meant to uphold. But anytime I'm looking at a show that's like that, and there's a standard of what a hot guy looks like, he doesn't look like me because he's got an amazing body. And like he's 6'3" and he's just got a friggin' crazy body, and he's got a body that would, for me to achieve, would just require daily difficult maintenance. Like, you know,
it's definitely it's more about eating,
yeah,
you know, healthy,
yeah.
Like that's basically how, you know, if I had a diet where I meal prepped and I ate the right amount of protein and didn't eat all the shit that I do eat, I definitely probably could get a little bit more ripped and like maintain some muscle mass. But
I was so glad that Kumail Nanjiani, I was glad that Kumail Nanjiani said what he said when he, you know, he got all ripped for the Immortals, for Marvel's The Immortals. And he was on like talk shows where they were like, well, what'd you do? Like, and asking him, and he was like, honestly, don't like try to do what I did. He's like, I had a studio paying me lots of money and paying a team of people lots of money to transform my body and make it look like this. Most people don't have that. And it's just like, you're not going to have the opportunity.
And they're doing steroids, bro.
It's steroids. Yeah. And they never say that. They're legally obligated not to say that. But like, I'm so glad D'Elia said that on his show the other day.
You saw that, right?
Yeah. D'Elia was just like, it's steroids, dude.
And if they ask me to do a movie, I'm doing the steroids.
I'm getting jacked on the roids. Like, 100%. They're going to film the whole movie on my back because my back's made out of a mountainous range. Yeah. No, for real. I'm glad when people are real about that, that it's like, oh, I just, you know, we just had, like, they show their workout regimen. It's like, it's unrealistic to expect the average Joe to have that kind of commitment. Although I do, living in LA, I see people at the gym all the time who, as far as I can tell, aren't famous. Otherwise, why would they be working out at Planet Fitness? But they're, you know, they're yoked and they're totally cut. And I'm like, that must be your whole life. Like, that just must be like you do. You know?
There's a lot of people that I see every single time I go to the gym. There's some guys that are training for, you know, their bodybuilding competitions or bikini competitions. Like, because I have a few friends that do like bikini shows. Dude, it's a full-time job, man.
Yeah.
Meal prepping, going to the gym, workout, cardio. Fuck, dude. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, so I think it's smart for people like us to cut ourselves some slack, that it's like, it's not what we're doing. We're not athletes. We're not male models. We're not, you know, we're not action movie stars. We're not like, there's no actual cause. We're not being called upon to look like this other than just.
I just want to look decent when I go to the pool with my kid.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take off my shirt.
I want to look attractive to people I sleep with, and I want to look good at the pool.
Yeah, I want to look good naked for the Tinder chicks that I'm banging.
Yeah. You know? But what you find out there too, when you're in the realm of sleeping around with people, you just find out that like people look like people. Like you're not expecting the women that you sleep with to have just like just slamming bods and like perfect abs and just like everything. Like people look like people, and people's bodies vary. Like just the the body variance is just like, it's as unique as their personality and as unique, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely noticed as I've gotten older that I'm less critical, especially of like my own body, but, you know, especially dating, you know, moms and that had multiple children, like, you know, their body goes through the ringer with that stuff and they're going to have stretch marks. And I think it's beautiful. Like it doesn't even bother me anymore. Like I honestly don't even care about weight as much as I do, you know, like personality and things like that. So definitely when I was younger, it was more a guilty pleasure, obviously, to, you know, sleep with girls that have really nice boobs or, yeah, you know, banging body, but that's just not what's going to happen once you get older.
Well, and there's also just like no one image that's like the attractive image, especially, I mean, for my money, like for women, it was always different. Every person that I would get naked with looked different and I was always stoked on it. I was always like, awesome.
Oh yeah, I'm always stoked to see some boobs, dude. Yeah. Like that's a guilty pleasure of mine, like having some random boobs show up in my text messages, like, yeah, without asking, like, boom, like here's a picture of my tits, like, bam.
Thank you
for those boobs.
Yeah. So I think that that's the reality, is most people understand that like the people you meet in real life don't look like the people on TV and in the movies. It's so funny. I always laugh at network TV shows, like network hospital dramas or network crime dramas, because it's just like everyone that works in this precinct in Chicago is just way hot. Like all these cops are just super hot. Like,
yeah, you must not know the Cottonwood Heights Police Department.
Just models, just picture perfect, sexy people. And even like like dudes that play like dorky guys on TV shows that are like shorter or thinner, that are kind of like supposed to be sort of homelier guys. There'll be a scene like midway through the show that you're watching where they're at a pool or where they're changing and you're like, oh, that guy's got abs. That guy.
Yeah, they're all doing steroids, bro.
That guy that plays like the nerdy guy has a great body.
Yeah, Leonard from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's a lot of them. I think we got a lot of them. I don't know. Whatever. I'll cover more in the intro and outro. I'm glad you came back and talked to me. Hopefully this audio works out and we don't have to do it again and figure out some other way. We have to do it again. Maybe we'll just, you can set up your microphone and we can record it that way, but hopefully
this
works.
Yeah, we can do that for sure.
Yeah. I think we got the gist of what we're saying. People have guilty pleasures and it's all good. Everyone does it. If you're watching,
everyone loves shitty food. Everybody loves sex. Everybody loves sports. Everybody loves alcohol.
Serial killer documentaries.
Oh yeah, that's another guilty pleasure.
Talking shit, like gossiping, like just talking shit on people. Like
talking so much shit.
Yeah, and you like to. Yeah. You also like to talk shit on people who talk shit. Like, oh, that person's always talking shit. It's like,
yeah, that person's always being a dick.
Yeah. And then
I'm going to talk shit about that asshole.
Yeah, I'm going to talk shit about how they're always talking shit. Like, just everybody, you know?
We're all talking shit.
Yeah, everyone's talking shit. Everyone's indulging in guilty pleasures, and that's the gist of it. So everyone just take it easy.
Yeah, just chill out a little bit with your political rants and all of your shit. And stop getting on Facebook.
Stop trying to be right.
Yeah, you're not right. Like, can't we just all have different opinions and be okay with that? Like, that's just, doesn't need to be a right or a wrong here. It's kind of like a religion. Like,
or at least have a conversation
like,
about it.
This is the true church and you're going to hell if you don't believe in it. Like, I don't know about that. Like, it just doesn't sound right.
Can we at least have a conversation about it? Like, can we have an adult conversation about that idea? Oh no!
And, it's also like trying to prove your rightness too. It's like, look, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with what, you know. I don't like Trump. Like I just don't like him. I think he's a fucking idiot, and I don't like what he says. I don't like him as a person. That's it. Like that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
You don't need to know anything else.
Yeah.
Like, and that has to be fine. But no, you got to tell me why. You got to break it down for me. Blah, 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 blah.
Or yeah, there's a lot of that. there's a lot of that on Facebook and a lot of that on where people will just post a not even controversial opinion that everyone agrees with, but just so that they can be seen posting it. Like someone just saying like, this Trump guy is a real bad guy. And it's just kind of like, yeah, shut the fuck up. Like everyone knows that. Like, thank you for your hot take on Trump being a bag of shit. Like, people will post that like today.
You're a bag of shit.
Like, people will post that today as though it's like this realization they had when they woke up in the morning. They're like, hey, Trump, that Trump guy says some irresponsible stuff. And you're like,
he's been doing this for 4 years.
Welcome to the. To what's happening in the world? Did you just turn on your internet for the first time?
But it's
like they're posting opinions that no one asked for. They're also like obvious things that you're just kind of like, right. But it's for the purpose of being seen as someone who has the good opinion, the opinion you're supposed to have. And it's just kind of like, if you're going to post something that's a hot take, at least dare to be a little controversial. Like dare to like take some heat for your stance, you know?
I don't know. Back it up.
Yeah. At least be ready and willing to like get into
debate
to some kind of conversation. Like be willing to like be wrong maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to go. I have to pee. My girlfriend has to pee. And take care of yourself over there and
go fucking pee, bro.
Yeah, we'll chat soon.
Okay, see ya.
Okay, later, bud.
All right, so there that was, huh? What do you think? What are some of your guilty pleasures? I want to hear from you. Were we too hard on Facebook? Let me know. Is there something I'm missing about Facebook? Am I just like too controversial for Facebook? Am I misunderstanding the vibe or misreading the vibe on Facebook? For real, it sounds like I'm being facetious, but for real, I would like to hear from you if you got a hot take, you know, because it's all. It's all open to discussion. It's all open to debate. And that's kind of the whole idea. That's kind of the whole point of having long-form discussion shows is just trying to work through ideas in real time. And I want you to be a part of that. Thanks again to Pat for coming on. He always does a great job and makes me laugh. I don't have much more to say on this topic. It's not really that deep. It's just something I wanted to talk about because it's a lot of fun stuff to get into. A lot of trashy, shameful, fun, funny stuff. Hope you enjoyed it. People Pleaser is written, edited, produced, and hosted by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. The show is mixed and mastered by Chris Bjorn over at Marmalade Music. You can go to marmalademusicslc.com and tell Chris that you listen to his excellent work over here at People Pleaser, and he'll give you 20% off your first project. Marmalade Music is an audio engineering company that's ready to take your audio project, your song, your EP, your album, your podcast, whatever your audio project is, Marmalade will take it to the next level, get it sounding pristine and tip-top condition. Let them know that you listen to People Pleaser to take 20% off. Again, that's marmalademusicslc.com. And to hear more of my music and more of my projects, you can go to austin-archer.com. That's my official website, austin-archer.com. It's got all the Austin Archer content you could possibly want, or you can look up Austin Archer on Apple Music or Spotify and listen to my latest singles, mixed and mastered by Marmalade Music, or some of my older things. We're getting ready to release, I think, the last single before the album drops, so we got some fun things coming down the pike, folks. All right, I think that's about gonna do it for this week. Love y'all. Stay safe. See you next week. Bye-bye.